singing these last two songs, you know, when you read 1 Corinthians, which is one of my favorites, probably my fifth and sixth favorite books. But, you know, especially in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how it's only through the Spirit that the truth comes to us. You know, carnal man can't figure out the truth, right? And he says, you know, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to people in the world that are perishing. Because it's only through the Spirit with a capital S that we can understand the truth. You know, our spirit, little s, if we're just in the world doing our usual carnal stuff, you know, we're always in rebellion and we're not thinking about those things. And Paul says, you know, I only preach Christ and Christ crucified. And I don't come with eloquent words, and I don't come here to debate, and I don't come here to use some kind of flowery language so everybody says, wow, that guy can really talk. He says, I come to preach the message of the cross, which only comes through the Holy Spirit. So those songs are pretty cool. And we know that. I mean, this is, you know, talk about preaching to the choir. But it's not like that everywhere. There's a lot of false teaching. There's a lot of cloudy teaching going on. There's a lot of ambiguous teaching going on. And as we live in a world where there's more and more, quote, tolerance, unquote, and there's more and more we have to all get along and agree with each other, there's all kind of things happening. Now, we know from last week that this is nothing new. There were false teachers in the Old Testament, and last week we went through some passages in Jeremiah and Ezekiel about false teachers and how God has a judgment for them if they lead the sheep astray, if they lead people astray. And James in his letter writes, you know, if you want to be a teacher, that's great, but you're going to be held to a higher standard of judgment because you're going to lead people astray. You know, if you're a false teacher and all you do is think false thoughts in your head, that's one thing, bad for you. But if you're a false teacher that teaches 20,000 people and leads them astray, worse for you. So James says, if you want to be a teacher, be careful what you do. So since we used the Old Testament examples last time, and if you weren't here or you want to hear it again, I always forget to say at oneinmessiah.website, all the teachings are there from the first day that we started. So you can go back and listen to that. They also go out as podcasts. So if y'all have podcast apps, you can hear it on my podcast. If you just have to search for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace, and they'll all pop up. And the only reason the Dr. Phil is there is because a friend of ours in Ann Arbor talked me into doing that. I don't usually do that. But he said, if you put the Dr. Phil in there, people that are searching for Dr. Phil who's on TV will also see your stuff pop up. I don't know if that works or not, but interestingly, in the last month or so, there's, you know, I get all the statistics from the podcast company. There's been people in Rwanda and Spain and Australia and all kind of places that have been downloading podcasts. So it's kind of exciting for me. You know, like, it's just, I always kid with Steve and some of our other friends that, you know, I get emails from Africa all the time, Pakistan, India. Oh, we listened to your radio show, and we went on your website, and da-da-da-da-da. I think, great, nobody in Cleveland's listening to the radio show, but there's all these people in Africa that are listening to it. So that's kind of funny. So tonight we're going to use the New Testament versions of this. Because, you know, there were warnings about we can't possibly do all of them, so we picked some examples because we don't want to be here for 6 hours. But, you know, Jesus warned about false messiahs, about false teachers. Paul said, as soon as I leave here, there'll be false teachers that come in. John said, false teachers are already here. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Imagine if he was here now. Peter wrote, and we're going to get a couple of verses from 1 Peter. You know, false teachers are going to come with destructive heresies. You know, the preaching of the truth is different than if you're talking about some philosophical concept, right? Because you can get a couple of philosophers or a whole bunch of professors that might disagree about something, and they all have a valid point, right? But when it comes to the truth of salvation, when somebody doesn't agree and somebody makes an invalid point, and then that keeps getting spread around and spread around and reproducing itself, that's a serious matter. And this affects every denomination. I don't care where you go to church. Within your denomination, there's some false teacher somewhere. Because it's too, first of all, it's too human that you read something and come to a wrong conclusion. Number two is you have demonic influences saying, oh, come on, do you really believe that? Come on. Maybe God thought that 3,000-4,000 years ago, but he doesn't think that now. And plus, we've evolved now, and we're really smart. Like, we don't know what gender we are. That's how smart we are. And, you know, there was a lawyer on TV the other night who said, well, you know, your body parts don't matter. You can be whatever gender you want. So this is what we've come to. You know, first chapter of Romans, Paul says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. What can be more foolish than, I don't know if I'm a man or a woman. I can't decide. I'm so old-fashioned, I think there's two genders. You know, Jesus said a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Doesn't say, well, you know, you can pretty much do whatever you feel like doing. And now, you know, in New York State, when the baby's born, if you want to on the birth certificate, you could put X where it says gender or sex. Then later on, the kid can decide for himself or herself. You know, am I a boy or a girl? Well, I'll decide later. This is what's going on while we're sitting around watching TV and worrying about our cholesterol and eating and relaxing. The world's going into a moral chaos. I was just telling Lori before we started that I don't know if any of you watched when Ireland had their referendum on abortion. And it passed overwhelmingly. And did you see on the TV there were people dancing in the streets and celebrating that now they were going to have this and they were finally going to have freedom. And you know, the Lord showed me, put in my mind, you know, it's like the golden calf. Oh boy, we can do whatever we want. We can dance and party now because we don't have to listen to all that God stuff because we can make God in our own image. I mean, they're partying in the streets. In Athens, people were partying in the streets because the Greek prime minister got up and made a speech where he said, we don't care what the church teaches. We're going to do what we want. And isn't that just the sum of human rebellion? We'll do whatever we want. You can't tell us what's right and what's wrong. So it's still going on. But at this point, ooh, isn't that cool? 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. 2 Peter. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Does he say there might be? Or, oh, you know, someday there might be a false guy. He said there will be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So for sure, there's going to be false teachers. For sure, they're going to bring in false ideas. They're even going to deny the Lord who bought them. Oh, well, you know, as long as you're nice to everybody, you don't kill anybody, as long as you put your paper and your pop cans in the right trash can, you know, God counts that as good stuff. It's good stuff. Who wants to talk about crosses and blood? Well, we could talk about cool stuff. We could talk about taking care of the earth. We can even worship the earth goddess if we want to. That's pretty popular too. The earth is our mother. Yeah, we don't want to talk about all this other stuff. That's boring. And they're going to bring destruction on themselves, and one or two people are going to follow them. No, many are going to follow their destructive ways. Not a few people, not eight people. Many are going to follow their destructive ways. And the way of truth is going to be blasphemed. You know, when people deny salvation through what Jesus did on the cross, they're blaspheming. Right? You're taking God's truth and saying, nah, that doesn't matter. Remember when the punishments came in the wilderness? We're sick of this loathsome bread. Can't we have something else? So they got poisonous serpents. We're sick of this same old boring Christian doctrine. Can't we have something fun? Can't we talk about the environment for a while? Can we talk about same-sex marriage? Because after all, what can we do? That's the reality of it. Maybe you people were wrong all these centuries. Well, the way of truth will be blasphemed. So many are going to follow those destructive ways. I don't care what church you go to. Look around and see how different it is than it was 20 years ago, let alone 40 or 50 years ago when most of us were growing up. And imagine what young people, I mean, anybody who's under the age of 40 now, has grown up with this. Right? Instead of building their house on a rock, they're on the shifting sand of, well, I don't know, who's to say? Who am I to judge? We're not supposed to judge people. We're supposed to be tolerant. So Peter warns everybody in the church about false teachers. Now Peter, you know, who was pretty much of a dope, spent 3 years with the teacher, capital T, capital T. Then he's filled with the Holy Spirit, Pentecost morning, goes out, and he didn't know, I'd be willing to bet, and if he's mad at me when I get to heaven, that's okay, I can deal with it. But, you know, I'm not sure he could quote from Joel and from the Psalms before that morning. He didn't generally go around saying, oh, do you know, the prophet Joel said. But that morning he quotes from the prophet Joel, he quotes from the Psalms, and 3,000 people get saved in 20 minutes' time, maybe less. So he had pretty good experience and spirit-filled, so he knows what he's talking about. And it's a warning. It's a warning about false teachers. It says people can be seduced by them. How can they be seduced? Well, you know, they talk about what people like to hear. An easy Christianity. Doesn't matter what you do. Everything's covered by grace. Well, everything is covered by grace, but that's not license to live your life any old way you want. Oh, that's old-fashioned thinking. Don't worry about it. You know, there's lots of good Buddhists and Hindus that are saying prayers, and there's a lot of good Muslims that are saying prayers, and we're here saying prayers, so all the prayers are going to the same God. So just relax. Take a deep breath. Let's not talk about crosses and blood. Let's not talk about a Messiah who's bruised beyond human recognition. That's disgusting stuff. Paul says, I preach nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. I don't know anything except Christ and Christ crucified. And we go around saying, well, who's to say? You know, Peter in his first letter says, we were bought with a price. We weren't bought with silver and gold. We were bought with what? Blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Messiah. We were bought with. But yet, we sit back and say, well, you know, who's to say? He might be right after all. And we know that true teachers are always followed by false teachers. You know, when Paul walked out of a town, the false teacher who had been 10 miles away preaching just went back into the town where Paul just was. Go, oh man, you guys aren't listening to that kook, are you? He's one of those Pharisees after all. Or he used to be a Pharisee, but now he's telling you wrong stuff. Because in order to be a believer, you have to follow the Mosaic law as well. Or else you can't follow Yeshua as your Messiah. So people were getting confused. Paul wrote all his letters to confront this kind of stuff. So people, true teachers are always followed by false teachers. Whenever there was a prophet, there were handfuls of false prophets. In Jeremiah's time, there were so many false prophets, they couldn't even keep track of them. And while Jeremiah was saying, everything here is going to be destroyed because of what you've done, the false prophets were saying, everything is great. And the false prophets always have big congregations. Because they appeal to what you like. You want a prophet to say, hey, I got good news. Everything's cool. You know, the old, I'm okay, you're okay kind of thing. Right? So people are seduced by that. And if you're a totally false teacher, if you're consciously doing it, your purpose is to deceive and distract people. Now, not every false teacher is. Some are well-meaning people. But they get influenced in the other direction. And then they take it upon themselves to influence others in that direction. You know, John talks about the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And he defines, what's the spirit of Antichrist? It's somebody who teaches Jesus didn't come from the Father, didn't live here, didn't die, didn't rise, didn't die for our sins. That's the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist has always been in the world. But now, since I think, personal opinion, the real Antichrist is going to come soon, it's really heated up in the world. I mean, it's never been like this. It's all revved up. So their purpose is to deceive and distract because they want to take people away from the truth with a capital T. Because you can only have salvation in the truth, right? You can't be saved by a false idea. So you want, if you're a demon, I mean, if you're Satan with all your hordes of demons, the main strategy is to take people away from the truth. Have them be comfortable. Have them think everything is okay. You know, especially in American culture, you know, what do you need a savior for? What do you need to be saved from? Everything is okay. I got a house, I got a car, I got money, I got a job, my kids are doing great, everything's good. So they want to point people away. And they always look good. You know, false teachers don't come looking horrible. You know, the apostles were a squirrely-looking bunch. Paul, you know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul points out he was kind of an annoying, he had an annoying speech. He talked funny. He was short. You know, Paul means short in Latin. They called him Paul because he was short. So here was this short, weird-looking dude who came in with some kind of strange speech, brilliantly intelligent, and people saw him coming and looked at him and go, oh no, here he comes again, and probably ran away. But the false teachers always look good. They wear nice robes. They wear nice suits. They stand there looking very holy. And they say false things. They have great speech. They sound nice. They don't have speech impediments like Paul maybe had. Moses definitely had. They sound very good and they look very good. And they tell lies with a kernel of truth in them. Right? Every lie, every false teaching has a kernel of truth in it. well, God loves everyone. That's true. But from that, what can you build? Oh, he doesn't send anybody to hell. Oh, he doesn't care how you pray to him. Oh, you don't have to believe in the Jesus stuff. You know, God loves you anyway. Well, he does love you anyway. But on that kernel of truth of God loves you, all kind of false salvations can spring up. Be nice to everyone. God wants you to be nice to everyone. Well, of course he does. But that's not salvation. Jesus came to teach. That's true. Right? That's a kernel of truth. He was a great teacher. He was a great philosopher. He came to show us how to live, just like Confucius did and Buddha did. And, you know, he gave us a way that we can live our life. That's true. So there's a kernel of truth in it. And they always have large followings because they say stuff that's easy. And people who are not familiar with the scripture can fall for anything. Right? If you don't have the foundation, if you don't have the rock of the word, and rock capital R, remember John calls Jesus the word that was from the beginning and was with God and was God. So he's a living word. You know, a lot of Jewish believers use the term living Torah. Yeshua was the living Torah, which is true because all the Torah was about him anyway. If you ever take the Torah class, we'll go over all that. But if you're not familiar with the truth of Scripture, if you don't know anything that Jesus wrote about the kingdom, and you don't know anything, well, he didn't write it, but what they wrote about the kingdom, and you don't know anything that Paul wrote about the kingdom, or John, or Peter, you'll fall for anything. Because false teachers that are under a demonic influence, whether they realize it or not, whether they're consciously trying to enrich themselves, which most of them are rich, want to have a big following so they can get big TV shows. They want to take as many people as possible to their side, even if they don't realize they're being demonic. They always have much bigger followings. And they're able to twist the scripture in ways that make it sound like they're right. You know, scripture interprets scripture, right? You've heard that saying. Scripture interprets scripture. So if you take a verse here, and a verse there, and a verse here, and a verse here, all out of context and put them together, you can say, therefore, God wants you to be rich. Right? You don't have to talk about the Son of Man having no place to lay his head. You don't have to worry about take up your cross and follow me. You don't have to worry about they're going to tie you up and take you where you don't want to go. No, you're going to be rich. Because if you don't know the scripture and you don't know the context that something's written, you'll believe anything. Say, wow, that guy really knows the Bible. He can quote 3 or 4 verses. Now, when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, I love when they come. I wish they'd come more. You know, they have a script that they follow. And most people don't know enough about the Bible, and they get sucked into it. Oh, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you a thing. Oh, really? I don't know. Then when they walk away, oh, man, that guy never thought about that before. But if you know your Bible, if you know the scripture and you take them off their script, you can debate them anytime. Because they have a very limited formula that they follow. And all you have to do is start with the question, who is Jesus? And you won't believe the stuff you hear. Well, you know, he was created by God and he's the same as Michael the Archangel and I mean, you can't even believe some of this stuff. And if you don't know anything, you say, wow, he's the same as Michael. I never thought about that. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Is he the same as Michael Yarkin? Oh, wow. Really? Or a Mormon saying, oh, well, God the Father was once a man like us. Oh, interesting. Where did he live? We don't know. How did he get to be God? Well, he was so awesome that when he died, he got to have his own planet, which is where we are. Really? So how many gods are there? I don't know. A Mormon will admit we don't know how many gods there are. Because anybody who lives a really good, moral, virtuous life can become a god in the next life and you can have your own planet. That's pretty cool. Have your own planet. So stuff like that's flying. It's one of the fastest growing religions. We knew some people, their daughter used to play with our daughter when they were in early grade school years. The whole family converted to Mormonism because they went to some Mormon place and they all said, wow, this is cool. Let's just be Mormons. This sounds like more fun than what we're doing now. So people who aren't familiar with the truth can fall for anything, especially if there's a pleasing message. I can have my own planet. I can be rich. I don't have to worry about my job. I can be healthy and wealthy. Because every disease that I might get can be healed. If I have enough faith and somebody prays over me, anything will be healed. Well, you might be healed. But eventually, you're not going to be healed. Or if I had enough faith, I wouldn't have this cold. You know, it's all kinds of nonsense you hear like this. It's a pleasing message. And sometimes it's an exciting message. Who wants to talk about crosses? Who wants to talk about sin? Who wants to talk about death? Physical death, spiritual death. Let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about social standing. Let's talk about your diabetes being healed. Let's talk about your ankle pain going away. Let's talk about something fun. We don't want to talk about all this other stuff. So many will leave the truth of salvation for a lie. Now, we're not going to talk about eternal security. We're not going to get into that debate. Because, there are a lot of different ideas about that. But people who are out there listening to this, instead of turning to the truth, will turn to a lie. So Peter warned us. Now, if you're a true teacher, opposite of what I just said, what do you want? You want people to be saved. Right? You're not worried about enriching yourself. You're not worried about having a TV show. You're not worried about selling a million books every month. You're not worried about what kind of suits you buy. $1,000 suits and, you know, have a tailor that makes them. You care about getting people saved. Because what's more important than that? Nothing. You know, a true teacher wants people to have knowledge of Scripture. You have to study it. Don't watch mindless TV shows. Study the Scripture. Don't read, you know, ridiculous books about murder mysteries and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you do, study the Scripture. And understand that this is the authority of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:15 or 16. 15 or 16. All Spirit is God-breathed. Theopneustos. God breathed out the Spirit. Breathed out the Word. The Spirit breathed out the Word. So study it. It has authority. And a true teacher will work for the benefit and blessing of the people that they interact with. Right? If somebody says, you know what, I'd like to contribute some money today, but, you know, I don't have any money. A true teacher will say, oh, that's okay, because this is, you know, the gospel's not, doesn't come with a cost. But if your cards and stuff are going to be prayed for only if you send in money, then you have to be worried. know, you've seen these guys on TV. Send in $50, $100, and we'll pray over your thing here, right? They got them all on the table. Now, I'm not saying they're all false teachers, because many of them are very good. But a true teacher wants the benefit and blessing of people, not their money. John, 1 John. How many people know John wrote a gospel in three letters? Say, yes, we all know that. Please know that. So John's first letter, chapter 4. Beloved. Now, when he says beloved, does this mean he's writing to horrible criminals that are pagan Gentiles and are wanted for murder and are in some dungeon somewhere? He's writing to believers. He's writing to people who are Christians. He's not writing to Hindus. He's not writing to Muslims. He's writing to people that he loves, people that are in his church. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Have one or two gone out into the world? Many have gone out into the world. Are they just here in this town where we are? No, they've gone out into the world. They're busy. False teachers are always very busy, too. Very busy. They're always running around. They're always on TV. They're always promoting stuff. They're always having commercials. They're always... They've gone out. They're everywhere. So you have to test what you hear. How many people know where Berea is? Not Berea, Ohio, but Berea in Greece. Do you remember when Paul went to Berea? He preached to the Jews there. And they said, we're going to check the scripture to make sure everything you're saying is true. And he said, good, I want you to do that. So they sat there with their scrolls. And Paul debated that Jesus was the Christ. And everything he said, now remember, the only scripture at that time was the Hebrew scripture. Was what we would call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, right? The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So when he was in Berea, he was preaching that Jesus was the Christ, and they were checking everything he said in the scripture to make sure he wasn't making stuff up. And he said, good, I'm glad you're doing that. A false teacher would say, oh, no, you know, don't bother with that because I've gone above that. That stuff that was written a long time ago. We're past that now. You know, in Ireland, we're past that now. When we first started doing missions in Mexico, which was only 22 years ago, there was no divorce in Mexico. There was no divorce. Now, there's divorce, unlimited, same-sex marriage, unlimited abortion. Abortion was thought to be such a disgusting thing in Mexico, nobody even talked about it. Now they have abortion clinics. Spain, who brought us the Inquisition, and along with doing some good things, you know, that Christianized the New World, they have same-sex marriage, unlimited abortion. This is where we live now. So everybody's got to wake up. Because you're not here for your own comfort. You're not here to make sure everything goes nice for you. You're here for the kingdom. We got a lot of work to do. So John tells the believers, not the pagans. He tells the believers that other spirits are out in the world. Not just spirit, capital S, that I'm talking about. And that Peter's talking about, and that Paul's talking about, and that Thomas is talking about, and all those other guys are talking about. There's a lot of spirits, little s, that are in the world. Lots of them. There's other revelations. You know, John, you know, leaned against Jesus at the Last Supper. He was the youngest one. He got to look for the optikomen during the meal. He calls himself the apostle Jesus loved. He never calls himself by name. He and his brother James had a really bad temper. Jesus called them sons of thunder. But then John got really mellow. James got killed by the sword. Acts chapter 12. These were the inner circle guys. Jesus took Peter, James, and John everywhere he went. So John is saying, I've had a lot of revelations, and I've had visions, and I experienced the real Jesus, and I saw the transfiguration, and I was there on Pentecost morning, and I have had all these supernatural experiences, but there's other revelations. There's other visions. There's other inspirations that aren't of the Spirit. So you got to be careful. When you hear something, you have to say, does that make any sense based on what the Word says? Hello? Everybody okay with that? Does it make any sense? What's the litmus test? So when somebody says, well, you know, your body parts don't matter anymore. You could be whichever gender you want. There's 50 genders. You say, wait a minute. There's two genders. Wait a minute. Everybody has their body parts for a reason. Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. But you have perfectly observant, dedicated Christians sitting home listening to that going, oh boy, oh boy. But I can't say anything because I don't want anybody to think I'm a bigot. And Satan always plants counterfeits. Counterfeits. You know, God is the author of life. So Satan encourages abortion. The family is the basic unit of human civilization. So Satan destroys the family. The church, the body of believers, has leaders. Well, Satan has to attack the leaders or put false leaders in. Every human being's either a male or a female. Oh, no, no, no. That's old-fashioned thinking. You could be whatever you want. Always plants a counterfeit. Oh, that's not a baby that's being killed. That's not. But back in the 70s, they used to say, oh, it's just a mass of tissue. There were no ultrasounds then when Roe versus Wade was adjudicated or argued. There was no ultrasound. Now you have three-dimensional ultrasounds that show every aspect of what that baby has and is doing. Don't you think people should say, wait a minute, maybe we should reconsider this? But no, every Catholic politician is ramming it down everybody's throat. Does their priest ever talk to them? Does their bishop ever talk to them? All the main people that are on TV say, oh, I'm Catholic and I go to Mass every Sunday. Oh, really? That's nice. You're making public scandal by saying this is what we're going to do and we can't compromise on this. People got to wake up because the darkness is everywhere now. And Satan is always planting counterfeits. So he says you got to test the spirits because some teachers are misled by different spirits. Now, how do you test the spirits? That's the question. Do you just say, eh, sounds good. Nah, that doesn't sound good. No, you have a basis. You know the truth of salvation. You know what's in the scriptures. You know what's been taught by Christianity for 2,000 years. Christianity has never taught, well, if two men want to get married, what's it to you? Christianity has never taught, oh, you can be a man or you can be a woman or, I don't know, there's 50 genders. Facebook said there were 50 genders. I can only think of two. So I don't know what the other 48 are. So people are being misled. Some are willfully deceitful, as we said, and some mishandle the scriptures. Because you know, how many times did you hear quoted, God is love? So whatever you do, he loves you anyway. Which is true, but it's a false teaching when you apply it to everything. You know, when they brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus, he didn't say, oh, don't worry. God loves you anyway. Do whatever you want to do. He said, well, I'm not condemning you, but don't do this anymore. When he goes to Zacchaeus' house, he says, you're a cheat. You're willfully cheating people out of money. He didn't say, oh, that's okay. You got a nice job. And if the Romans are okay giving you that money, hey, don't worry about it. It's great. No, he says, don't do that anymore. So Zacchaeus pays back all the money four times that he owed because his life was changed. Oops. We're almost done. Same book. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Okay? So if you're of God, and again, he's talking to believers, calling them little children. You know, he's one of the apostles. He's not just some guy the apostles hired to plant a church somewhere. He's one of the apostles. So he's talking to believers. You're of God, little children, and he who's in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit in us, not a false spirit that's in the world. We don't have the spirit of Antichrist in us. We don't have a spirit of immorality and greed and lust and all those things you have mentioned and that Paul talks about in Galatians. We don't have all those spirits. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The other people are in the world, so therefore they speak like the world. And the world likes that. The world hears them. Remember, Jesus says, you know, if you're in the world, if you're like the world, everybody will love you. If everybody agrees with everything you say all the time, you're not saying true stuff. Because the world will love you if you're like the world. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. You have the true spirit living in you, and you're grounded on that scripture. You'll hear people that are preaching truth. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, Hank Hanegraaff always says you should be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit comes, you recognize it immediately. And you don't entertain it in your head saying, wow, I never thought about that. Maybe God the Father was once a man like me. It'll give me something to strive for. You know, I can get my own planet. And not only, and I don't know how much you've talked with Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. I don't know if you ever met, there was a guy who was my patient who was a big honcho in the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we would go out to dinner, out to lunch once in a while. And he was like equivalent of a bishop. I forgot what they're called. And every time he'd come to the office, he'd say, you still believe that Trinity stuff? So the true spirit lives in us. And the false ones talk like the world. And they lead people to the world, worldly things. Or they emphasize the wealth and the pleasures of the world. Why wouldn't you want to have a nice suit like me and get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to go to work and I'm going to conquer and I'm going to be rewarded and I'm going to make something of myself. Nothing wrong with saying that as a prayer, but it's not a prayer to say it like that. You call up the power you have within you, you can accomplish anything. Well, what does the Bible tell us about what power we have within us? Not very much. Or they lead you away from the truth of salvation. So it's usually either, oh, you know, this business about blood and crosses is kind of silly. It's actually kind of disgusting. Why do you want to talk about that? To, oh, yeah, well, it's Jesus plus a whole bunch of other stuff. It's not just Jesus, it's Jesus plus a whole bunch of other stuff. You can't know salvation unless you know all the stuff that we know. So they have large followings. And it gives you a more inclusive plan. The world's all about being inclusive. It's a more inclusive plan. Doesn't matter who you are, where you go, what you believe, what you think. God loves everybody. And you can have an easier Christian life. Who wants to talk about pick up your cross every day and follow me? Who wants to talk about give away everything you have to the poor and then come and follow me? I don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. So, you know, the gospel can be distorted and it can be changed. We've gone over all this already. And I always go back to Galatians 1. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which isn't another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul had just been there. He says, I can't believe how fast you turned away. As soon as I left town, the Judaizers came in and they perverted the gospel. Now it's Jesus plus law. If you don't follow the Mosaic law, you can forget about Jesus. Because in the passage before that, he says that Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it says, this is the plan of salvation, and you've already turned away from it. In no time at all. And there wasn't even an internet then. There were no telephones, no texts, no emails. They turned away from listening to false teachers who came into town. And talk about where we are today. Now the Spirit expressly says, so Paul says, the Spirit expressly says, has the Spirit told you that verbally? Apparently he told Paul. In no uncertain terms. The Spirit has expressly said, in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So the Spirit says, you know what? People are going to fall away from the truth. And as time goes on, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Because there's deceiving spirits. And there's doctrines of demons. Whatever takes you away from the cross is a doctrine of a demon. Because a demon doesn't want you to know about the cross. It's going to try to minimize the cross. So he expects this to happen. We see it happening. Oh, we can't understand why this has happened. But he told us why this was going to happen. Did you ever read Revelation? You know, it's pretty much of a mess. As we approach the end. It's not all nice and fuzzy and comfy and nice as we approach the end. It's horrible. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith on the earth? So he's talking about, you know, seducing spirits. That should be seducing, not deducing. Spirits and a general apostasy because these false spirits are emissaries of Satan. And although we talk about the cross and we talk about blood, Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I told you to do. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. You say you don't know me, I'm not going to know who you are. Well, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and do all these things? But I never knew you. How many people are scared by that passage? That's the scariest passage in the whole Bible. He says, I never knew you. Then he says, you're going to look in through the window. You're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the believers having dinner, and you're going to be out wailing and gnashing your teeth. But that doesn't sober you up. Nothing will. Because, you know, Paul talks about how we're always being made into his image. We should be showing ourselves devoted to him. We should be constantly working to be more like him rather than saying, oh, God loves everybody, I can do whatever I want. Jesus never said that. And, of course, too many scriptures here. You should preach the word in season and out of season. You have to convince and rebuke and exhort with long-suffering and teaching. Because the time's going to come where they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Because they have itching ears. And they want teachers to tell them what they want to hear. So they'll listen to fables. I want a teacher that's going to say what I want to hear. I don't want a teacher talking about sacrifice. I don't want a teacher that's going to tell me about give away everything you have and come and follow me. I don't want a teacher that says pick up your cross every day. I don't want a teacher that says, you know, when the world loves you, you know you've done something wrong. The world hated me and it's going to hate you. Ooh, I don't want to hear that. I want everybody to like me. So that's where we are. And you don't have to watch TV for very long to see where this is headed, to see what we're in. But there's always a remnant, right? God is never without witness in the world. So they can dance in Ireland, and they can dance in Greece, and they can dance in Mexico. But eventually the golden calf's going to be smashed. And we're going to be around to pick up the pieces of it. So since it's all based on what the Spirit says, you have to really discern what the Holy Spirit is doing. And you have to be docile to what he's doing. And you have to listen to what he's doing. And you have to read his word.